as astronomers have told us, our Earth is but a speck of dust in the universe. Now, we all know our sun is the center of our solar system, and our Earth, with others, rotate around it. But our sun is but one star in the Milky Way galaxy. Estimates are over a billion stars in our galaxy. Remember, a billion is one with nine zeros. And scientists estimate over a billion galaxies. It is unfathomable, the expanse of space that we see. No matter where we look in a telescope, we see galaxies, we see quasars, we see stars forming, we see stars dying. And what could happen if we could take that telescope to one of those distant galaxies and look out further? I used to think as a boy, when you looked up at the stars, if this doesn't convince you of God, what could? But when you look at these images from the far-off galaxies, how can you have any feeling except a sense of, wow, you mean that's out there? Yes, and we know who created it. I want you to understand that science cannot tell you where the universe came from. Science has studied and looked, and what they can tell you is this: everything is moving outward. Like something happened and just an explosion, and it blew everything out, and they call it the Big Bang. These galaxies that you see are moving away from each other. Everything is moving in space. Where did it all come from? They don't know. But science can tell you there's always a cause and an effect. If the effect is everything is moving, then there's a cause. And that matter does not create itself. It had to come from somewhere. And I like the line from the movie, God's Not Dead. When you look at how our universe was created with a big bang and a big explosion, that is exactly how you would expect it to happen if God said, let there be light. I want to tell you, God is our creator. God created everything. As a boy coming up at the Presbyterian Church, every Sunday I would stand and say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's the beginning of the Apostles' Creed. You need to know that our God is awesome. And that science, again, cannot logically even begin to argue the vast universe that we look at. Again, a billion stars in our own Milky Way galaxy. They estimate over a billion galaxies. That's getting to be a pretty big number. And yet they also say it is very unlikely that there could be another planet like ours. Our planet is unique. First of all, our solar system is in a part of our galaxy where there's not a bunch of stuff bumping into us. And they say that is so unique. Our Earth is just the right distance from the sun that temperatures can sustain life. It is tilted at the perfect angle to sustain life. And the fact that we have a stable moon occurred because at some distant time, something came into Earth and blew a section of it off, and it became our moon. And that same event also changed our atmosphere. to a very thin atmosphere. Otherwise, it would be like the planet Venus. So gaseous and so thick. Scientists say that Earth that can sustain life is a miracle. Isn't it something? And it appears that God created one planet, put it in the midst of a vast galaxy. That galaxy in the vast of billions of galaxies for one purpose, for Him to create a being that would love Him and would get to know Him. That's us. And you need to understand that God's purpose is for us. It is for you. And when you come down to us as humans, there are those that would say we descended from a monkey. All I can say is when science looks at genes and DNA and all the proteins and amino acids necessary to even create life, to have that many and change, it's not sustainable by any arguments. Charles Darwin, who came up with the idea of evolution, you probably think, well, he was an atheist. No, he wasn't. He never said God did not create life. He was just explaining how it changed. And you know, all of us to some extent do believe in evolution. Micro, not macro. Here's what I mean. How many people here at home have a cute lap dog? Could I? You have a cute lap dog, about six. All right. How many people here have a big dog? Oh, more people have big dogs. Big dogs are more popular. Dogs were probably all descended from the wolf. But through breeding and breeding, a constant breeding, we've changed them a little bit. Humans look different than they used to look. But a human is a human. A dog is a dog. Cat is a cat. Monkey is a monkey. That never changes. Let me share a question. Why do so many people choose to believe a lie rather than accept the truth? Before I take you to the scriptures, let me tell you a story. I think it'll help make the point. A couple of months ago, on a Sunday, I usually get here about 7:15. I came in and went down to my office, and lo and behold, in my office, on my desk, on a napkin, was a pastry. I smiled. You understand where I'm coming from? Here's a pastry. I'm like, wow. I knew exactly where it came from because there was only one other person in the building, Jim Barron. He gets here before it opens up, and I went up and I walked up, and he said, did you see the pastry I left you? I said, sure did, Jim. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I tell you what I could have done. And let's say that Jim and I weren't getting along. Let's say we were battling and we were just at odds with each other. And yet he put the donut on my desk. And I couldn't bring myself to go up there and thank him for it. So instead I say, okay, how else could this donut have got here? Because I can't thank Jim for it. How else could it have gotten here? Well, maybe somebody from the pastry shop down the street came up in here and broke into the church and put this pastry on my desk. Nah, that sounds absurd. The doors were locked. Maybe during the storm last night, the environment here changed in my office, and this donut got created. Well, all I'm going to do is find the most plausible excuse, because I don't want to tell Jim thank you. You want to know why? There's so many that want to deny God and deny His existence. They don't want to thank Him. And if they admit that there is a Creator, then they have to admit that there is accountability. Let me share a portion of Scripture for you. This is from Paul's epistle to the church at Rome. I'm going to begin in verse 20. Is this Paul is addressing exactly what we're talking about here. He says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood that He has been the maker of all, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither honored Him or gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be smart, they became fools and exchanged the power and glory of the immortal God for images made to look like man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires, to the hearts of sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies to one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is, according to Paul, to be forever praised." You see, there is a choice in life. We choose to believe that there is a God, that He is the Creator, and as such, He has authority, for He has made us, and we are accountable to Him. And we study the Scriptures, what He has revealed to us, to see how He wants us to live. Or we choose to dispense with the obvious and choose what Paul called a lie. Because, to be frankly, it gets in our way of doing what we want to do. Ever known a teenager coming up whose heart is bent toward independence and is thinking, how fast can I get away from my parents, because I don't want anybody telling me what to do? And that is the spirit of so many today. So many today who are trying to control your life and my life. With that, I'd like to take you again to our opening text. In the beginning, God created everything. You see, we can accept the truth if we accept the truth that God created everything. Our life takes on divine purpose. You do understand, if you don't believe in God and believe in creation, then you are no different than the animals. Nothing different. And I believe that we are divine. I believe the Word teaches it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Point number one, purpose. Because we believe that God is infinite. You know, I have trouble with that. I can't wrap my mind around an infinite God, can you? I have a hard time remembering some things I did last week. But to think that God has always existed, I have trouble with that. Not because I have trouble with God, but my mind can't grasp it. The Bible also tells us that His ways are higher than our ways. That His thinking is higher than our thinking. We must be to God, or we must appear to God to be as foolish when we try to understand Him as a toddler who picks up mama's algebra book and looks at an equation like he's going to solve it. Can't do it. You see, God is infinite. That means He's always existed. He had no beginning. And He will have no end. He is infinite. We are finite. We had a beginning. When you were born, you began. And the Bible does teach that you will never die. That you will live eternally somewhere. And that is the choice we make here in this life. Do we yield to God and honor Him and praise Him with our lives? Or do we rebel against Him and choose our ways? You have an infinite God, and from a personal point, that means there's nothing going to happen in your life that He has not seen. There's a advertisement or a commercial on television by Farmers Insurance. And Farmers Insurance is showing the absurd, and then them coming back saying, "We've been there, we've seen that." Watching their ad a couple of nights ago, a couple of guys are sitting in the front seat of a car. Looking at a road map, trying to figure out where they are. And about the time, a mountain lion lands on the hood of their car. And they're both startled, and they look back, and hanging from their rear view mirror in the car are some bright red dice. And that mountain lion seems to be attracted to those bright red dice, and he's clawing at it. And they're like, "What do we do? What do we do?" And one guy pulls out a laser pointer, points it on the hood of the car, and the mountain lion scratches at it. He shows it off in the field, and the mountain lion chases that laser pointer. And then they flip to the farmer's commercial that says, "We know about that because we've been there." Let me just tell you, I don't know what's going on in your life. God's been there. God knows about it. Anything that comes up, nothing's going to catch your God by surprise. The second thing, purpose. Because we believe that God is powerful. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The third verse tells us, "And God said, let there be light." And power that is just unexplainable erupted as our vast universe was formed. Now, because we are finite, sometimes we have trouble grasping the infinite. But God's power is not limited. And His power is not just displayed in the vastness of our universe, or how intricate life is on this earth, or how beautiful life is on this earth. It is displayed in how He interacts in human life. Remember one day when a young girl being raised in poverty was visited by an angel. And the angel told her, "You're going to have a baby. You're going to have God's son. You're going to name him Jesus." And she said, "How can this be? Remember what the angel said? With God, say it with me, all things are possible. So wherever it is in your life that you're struggling, with God, all things are possible. That is why we want to be in His side of the court. That is why we want to be with Him, because He never fails. If He was on a basketball team, He never misses a shot. You want Him in your court because He is awesomely powerful. Throughout the Scriptures, we just see His power displayed time and time again. But I want you to see it in your own life. All of us have battles going on, don't we? Maybe we're battling something internal. Maybe the temptation is from inside and it's just, God, help me to control it. Maybe it's struggles in our life and we feel overwhelmed. But whatever it is, there is a power within God that can bring you through any storm, through any trial. Like John said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. How did Paul phrase it? And you need to remember this. And those of you that know this verse, say it with me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Number three, purpose. Because God has a plan. I believe that God is the divine architect. But not that simple. I believe that God the Father is a divine architect. I believe that God the Son is like the contractor, and God the Holy Spirit are like the subcontractors that get it done. But there is always a plan. Look at the vastness of our universe, the perfection of our own solar system, where the earth is exactly, the way it needs to be, the way it's tilted. Because God had a plan. God always has a plan. Now, have you ever messed up God's plan before? Oh, yeah. But you know what? God can devise a new plan real quick. God always has a plan. And we need to understand our life is part of His plan. The Bible tells us that God knows the stars by name. Now, we've already mentioned a billion stars in this galaxy, and there's a billion galaxies, and He knows the names of them all. But the most important thing is He knows your name, Rebecca. When we get to heaven, He's not going to ask us for a number. He's going to welcome us like any of us welcome our children when they walk in our door. And we know them by name. He has a plan for your life. You are different than anybody else in the world. He has gifted you with gifts and abilities and experiences that make you like no one else. Thank God for His plan. Learn to say, God, I thank You for who I am and what I am, and I know You have a plan for me. And we take from the fact that God has a plan for us. And we become bold in our faith. That if my God has a plan for my life, and He has allowed this to come into my life, then there's a reason. And God's going to strengthen me through it. Now, I am not telling you, and please understand, God never tempts with sin. God is never going to intentionally hurt you. But he will sometimes, out of a loving kindness, remove his hand of protection that he might grow you and he might teach you. I've seen some parents who seem to want to protect their children from everything. They don't want the teacher fussing at them. They don't want them not having everything everybody else has. And they spoil the kids rotten. And they come up as rotten kids and rotten teenagers and rotten young adults. When sometimes mom needs to remove the hand and dad needs to step back and let the school system discipline. Maybe let law enforcement get involved. Because there are some people, their only hope is to hit rock bottom. And then that becomes the foundation they live their life on. Trust his plan. He knows where he's going. He is the divine architect of the universe, and you need to let go and say, God, you direct me. I think you're a little smarter than me. The greatest place that we see his plan is in our redemption. As you start going through the Bible, and we look back to the beginning, we begin to see God's plan of salvation taking place, that God is laying it all out. There are so many things that we don't catch in God's plan. Like, Jesus was born in the fullness of time. Do you know what that means? When the time was right. Did you know that Jesus was born at a time in history, the first and only time in history, that there was a governing power over most of the civilized world that could control access to almost any town and any city with the gospel message? Thieves and robbers and murderers that would lie in wait on the streets and the roads in the Roman Empire were quickly taken and crucified. Paul had no difficulty traveling from city to city to city in the Roman Empire because Rome kept things calm and safe. And when the fullness of time was come, and for the first time in history, there was one language that could be spoken of almost anywhere and be understood. It was Greek. Our Gospels were written in Greek. Maybe God's not doing it today for you because the time is not right yet. Trust his timing. And in the fullness of time, God moved. Let's hit this fourth point. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes on it. Because purpose in our lives, because we believe God is loving. Now, I'm going to have to take you through a couple of steps here so you can bear with me, okay? The verse that we are examining, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, says nothing about love, does it? There's nothing in that passage about love, but yet it does tell us about a God who created the heavens and the earth. Now let me show you another passage of scripture. This is from the same chapter, verse 26. God says, let us make man in our image. Now, us, singular or plural? What was that? Plural. That means more than one. All right, this is the eternal God, the infinite God, saying, let us make man in our image. Who is the us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were there together, and again, they worked together. I think the Father as the architect, the Son as the builder, the Holy Spirit as the contractor who did the work. But you need to understand that God the Son is involved here. Let me take you to, and you've got the passage up here, John 1:1-3, and hear what John says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Remember, in the beginning God created. I know, I love this passage. And the Word is Jesus. Through Him, all things were made that have ever been made. John is saying the Word of God, Jesus, was there at the beginning. And through Him, all things were created. And isn't it amazing that that God humbled Himself to come down to be born in a barn and to die upon a cross? Now let's look to the book of Revelation 4:11. For you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. My sermon is about purpose. And have you noticed yet I haven't told you what our purpose is? Look in this passage again from the book of Revelation. You created everything, and it is for what? Say this, your pleasure that all things were created. God created us to bring Him pleasure. He wanted someone that He could love. And someone that would love Him back freely of their free will. Someone that would see Him as awesome and praise Him and then follow Him for His pleasure. Oh, I'm telling you. You know what your purpose is? To put a smile on God's face. But I'm afraid sometimes we have Him frowning a little bit. A couple of days ago, I was sent a text by my son Scott with a video attached. Okay? My son Scott is sitting there. Ginger. How old is Lily now? 3.5 months. He's got her up, holding her up like just like all you parents did. He's holding her up and goo, ga, 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 goo, goo, goo. And she's just laughing. She's just laughing and cutting up. And oh, I'm telling you, it was a special moment. Why do you think my son Scott and his wife Tanya decided to have a baby to give them pleasure? Parents, isn't that why you decided to have a baby? I want a baby. I want a baby that's from me, that'll love me, and then I can love, and that I can teach. We had our children to bring us pleasure. And then they became teenagers. Teenagers go through a stage between childhood and adult where they can't figure out where they're at. Half the time they're, Mama, Mama, take care of me. Buy me this, buy me that. I need, I need, I need. And then half the time they think they're an adult. Don't tell me what to do. I've got it under control. I don't know where they are. But I have seen many a parent heartbroken with a teenager who in a moment of anger says, "I hate you." This child that they gave birth to bring them pleasure is now bringing them the most grievous pain. And it's not just when they say, "I hate you," it's when they act like they don't care. Parents, doesn't that hurt? I don't know if you've been through it or not. Some of you have been blessed and not to. But I know parents that cry themselves to sleep at night. They would do anything for their child, and their child would do nothing for them. And it breaks their heart. Because you brought the child into the world to bring you pleasure. How do you think our Heavenly Father feels when we turn our back on Him? And we don't listen to Him. And we ignore Him. Because after all, I've got things I want to do. Not only does it break God's heart, He knows you're walking down a path you don't need to walk down. He knows where it leads. God created us for a purpose, to bring pleasure to Him. And I'm gonna just step out on faith, and I'm gonna make a statement here, and I believe it. I believe if you bring God pleasure and you put a smile on His face, that God is gonna pour out His blessings on you. I believe if you give God pleasure and you submit to Him, and we don't submit to Him because He wants to control us. We submit to Him because He knows best for us, that He's going to bless us. Let's say that you've got one of those teenagers who's been a tad on the rebellious side. Matter of fact, doesn't hardly do a thing that you tell them to. One day they come home and they say, "Dad, I need to talk to you. I just recognized today what a bad son I've been. I've been rebellious. I haven't thanked you. You've done so much for me, and all I've done is complain and gripe when it wasn't what I wanted. Dad, I want you to know today that I'm turning over a new leaf. Dad, I'm going to quit harping at you about letting me borrow the car. And Dad, from this day forward, anything you ask me to do, I'll do it." And your son, with tears in his eye, he reaches up and he hugs you and he embraces you, and you begin to cry. When the embrace is over, there's not a parent here that would say, "Son, now that you've made this decision, I'm going to make your life miserable." You know what we'd probably say? "Let's go downtown and shop or a car for you, okay?" All we want to do, pleasure. Can we put a smile on God's face? He calls us that He might love us. He calls us that He might love through us. But in it all, His divine purpose in creating this vast universe was us. Us. You. And all He says to you, "Love me. Yield to me. Trust me. Trust that my Son died for you, and I will bless you." Let's pray. Father God, In the midst of our stubbornness and rebellion, O God, forgive us and restore us. May, Father, our hearts lean to you. May we recognize that our purpose is not to bring pleasure to our own lives, but to bring pleasure to you. And you will in turn do what we need to bring us joy and pleasure. Father God, work in us and work through us, I pray. Amen.